Hi, everybody. I'm Michelle Morris from Consolidated Planning Group. Thank you so much for joining us again, or if this is your first time, welcome. I hope you find today's talk to be super helpful. We have Jeff Garrison Tate here with us today. He's going to be speaking about person-centered planning, and I can't wait to get to him. So I'll go kind of quickly through my slides so that Jeff can talk. I want to let you know, first of all, the housekeeping items. You are muted. We cannot see you or hear you, but we know you're out there. If you have any questions or comments, we would love for you to put that in the chat box. Now, we might keep your questions until the end of the talk, but we will at least be able to see your questions and comments so that we know, or we can even integrate the answers into the talk. So that would be perfect if you just put your questions and comments in the chat box. We record all of our webinars and it will be sent to you later today. It's also going to go onto our YouTube channel, and we will send you the slides too so that you'll have this information going forward. Again, if you have any questions after this is over, you are welcome to reach out to Jeff or to myself. We are here to help you. So Consolidated Planning Group, a little bit about us before we get started. We are a holistic, independent financial firm based just outside of Houston. We're in the Sugar Land, Missouri City area, but we serve families all across the United States. And we really, really focus our business on serving clients who have an individual in their life with some kind of intellectual or developmental disability. This is not just something that we are able to do in addition to all of our financial services. It's really what we do every single day. This is truly the focus of our business. We have over 30 years of experience in insurance and financial services, investments, things like that. We've won awards. We are members of the Special Needs Planning Academy. We are nationally certified Social Security advisors. And I've just recently received the Chartered Special Needs Consultant designation from the College of American Financial Planning. So first and foremost, we are the money side of things. We are the advisory financial firm. But like I said, about 95% of our clients have kiddos or loved ones in their life with a disability. So families really come to us for things like protection plans for their families. What happens if the main breadwinner in your family passes away early or becomes disabled? How can you protect yourselves against risk like that? We can help. We help with lifetime care planning, thinking about after your child graduates from high school, what comes next? How do you plan for their care once you are gone? And how much is that going to cost? And how much can you leave to them at the end of your life to cover those costs? And how can we cover any gap between those two numbers? We help with transition planning, you know, from high school to the real world, from mom and dad's house to whatever comes next, from a minor under the age of 18 to an adult at the age of 18. There are three different transition periods that we help families plan for. Of course, ABLE accounts, helping you understand the legal side by referring you to attorneys, all of the benefits, both state and federal, how you can apply for those things, which ones your family should be able to qualify for. We help you with all of that stuff. When you talk with Consolidated Planning Group, we are here to advocate for you. We are here to educate you. And you know, there are 263,000 financial advisors across the United States that you could be speaking with, but fewer than 200 of those, including Consolidated Planning Group in that 200, fewer than 200 financial planning firms in the United States really focus on special needs planning like we do. So you're definitely in the right place. I mean, it's less than a tenth of a percentage of all the firms who do this. So you're truly with experts when you're working with CPG. A few really quick bits of advice before I turn everything over to Jeff. The time to start planning for your loved one is right now. It doesn't matter if they're an infant, a teen, or an adult. If you are planning for someone's future, it is best to get that planning done or started as soon as possible. You're going to be able to sleep easier at night. You're going to be able to take your time and make small incremental changes that can have a large impact on your overall financial picture. But if you keep putting it off, you're limiting your time and your resources. We want you to think about what's going to happen after high school. There are great educational programs, there are vocational programs, and there are residential opportunities out there for your loved ones. So look into those early. Don't wait till the last minute. They might have waiting lists and you might need to get on that waiting list. So tour these communities, tour the schools, tour the programs, and see what's a good fit for you and get on those waiting lists. And the last bit of advice that we always want to put out there is to say, you know, just think really carefully before you allow a sibling to be the one who takes over caregiving for your loved one. So let's say older sister Sarah is going to take care of younger brother Jacob when they get older. Well, Sarah might have her own family and career and goals and troubles at that time. And, you know, taking care of her younger brother might feel like an obligation instead of that loving relationship they've had. Whereas from Jacob's point of view, Sarah has been his loving sister and they've been friends and they've had a good relationship. And now Sarah wants to step into the role of caregiver, which could also sound like the role of supervisor and parent. And, you know, he might have that feeling like, well, you're my sister. You're not my mom. You can't control me. And it could breed resentment on that side as well. So just be careful because we don't want you to mess up a family dynamic just to, you know, have the sibling take care of each other. So let me read you real quick Jeff's bio because this is fascinating stuff. Mr. Garrison Tate has supported people with disabilities and their families for more than 40 years. He has held positions as a direct support professional, special education teacher, community services program director, community advocacy organizer, and a policy manager. He is also one of the founders of Community Now, a statewide nonprofit organization that advocates for community inclusion. He is a frequent presenter at regional, state, and national conferences. Mr. Garrison Tate is a founding partner of the Institute on Person-Centered Practices. Mr. Garrison Tate is certified to mentor person-centered thinking, plan facilitation, and people planning together and training. He recently founded Better Lives LP as chief executive officer. He lives in Bryan, Texas, and has 7 children, all of which are amazing. One of his 4 daughters receives health and home and community-based services. And this lived experience brings a sense of personal responsibility, commitment, experience, and passion to actualize better lives. The vision is to support people in their lives to live their lives as they want. Support people to live their lives as they want. All right, Jeff, bring it. I can't wait to hear what you have to teach us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle. And thanks so much to Consolidated Planning Group for inviting me today.
Oh, we're so glad you're here.
Well, I'm just really excited. I understand that a lot of our audience today are parents, and I'm a parent as well, as Michelle mentioned in the overview of the bio, and I think it there's a connection there that we have that is unique, and some of it is, you know, those shared wonderful experiences and those shared ones that aren't so well, and looking at dealing with difficult organizations, that's service organizations and so on, to understand what your rights are and so on. But I'm here to talk about person-centered thinking and planning. And we're going to look at what the beliefs are, and we're going to look at what drives the process. And I'm going to offer some very specific skills or tools that you should be able to take home today and support your loved one with that. And so here's the first slide is it's about better lives when we talk about person-centered practices. And it's not just better paper. So I could back up a semi-truck trailer of all the beautiful plans that I did in my career, earlier in my career. I mean, I used markers, they were beautiful, but you know what? Honestly, they didn't really connect with what the person was telling us was important to them in their lives. And building goals and outcomes based on what's important to people, is we're still in a work in progress in our systems to get there. And so we got to do the paper, and that's there, but how do we make the paper fluid and something that's jumping out of that document to make it happen? So yes, thank you. We can go on here. I wanted to talk about quickly the entity that I work with and I'm certified and credentialed with is the Learning Community on Person-Centered Practices. And I don't like to read slides, it's pretty boring. But I will say I did want to spend a second or two reading this, and because this is the principles, I think, in the again those beliefs, and how we see the world. It envisions a world where all people have positive control over their lives that they have chosen for themselves. And our efforts focus on people who have lost or may lose positive control because of society's response to the presence of a disability. And we foster a global learning community that shares knowledge for that person purpose. We got into South Korea recently, and Canada, and UK, and Australia. And the thing that's so wonderful is that we all, wherever we are, we all speak the same language. We all come back to the table with starting with the focus on the beliefs and the skills to make it happen for people. But we could just go on. That would be great. Thank you so much, Michelle. Let's look at a description or overview of, I'm going to talk about person-centered thinking skills and person-centered thinking. You know, we're going to talk about the plan, but the plan is not really worth the paper it's on unless there has been some real discovery of what that person wants to do, what they're awesome at, what people like and admire and care about them, and the supports that they need to be supported. So those supports and so on should be driving that plan. And as you know, Michelle really outlined a whole lot of great work that the Consolidated Planning Group is doing, and in terms of that critical part of that plan. So for that person to get what's important to them, how are these other pieces also falling in place? But again, I'm going to take a second and go through this. Underlies and guides respectful listening, which leads to respectful action. Are we really listening to people? And it supports people to have the control over their lives. Also often, and we're in a, I mean, I've watched over 4 decades how the systems have changed, and they are better. They are, but we've still got so much to do. But how are we still supporting people and figuring out creative ways so that they have the positive control over their life that they desire? And it's where people are recognized and valued for their contributions, current and potential, to their communities. And they have a web of relationships. Do our kids have relationships of folks outside of the folks that are being paid, the all these other folks? I mean, the critical piece here is about relationships. In fact, there was a study done, there's an island outside of Japan, and a lot of the people were 100 years old or a little older. And so they went in and they said, what is this formula? What is doing? What is making this happen? And they came up with three things, right? One, diet, one, health, and purpose and meaning. If you don't have a reason to get up and go, you're not going to go. But what are we doing to ensure that our kids have purpose, and we're listening to what that is and understanding how that's going to evolve and change as our kids get older? So I think we could go on to the next one. Thank you. Person-centered thinking and person-centered planning based on the work of the learning community, it goes beyond the requirements, okay? And there are specific requirements that the feds created a huge policy and rule that says folks with disability labels, particularly people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, have specific rights in terms of how they can have different ways of accessing community based on how they see it. But it's the right thing to do, but it's also their federal rules and policies. I'm not going to get on this too much, that drive the philosophy of community inclusion. And so anyone, any young person who is receiving the HCS or home and community-based services waiver, and there are several waivers, that anybody that's receiving those funds, you know, should be following the policy from the feds. And so it is a paradigm shifting time for our work, because not only is the requirements, we have to do it. The people, the organizations that are doing it, for them to get paid, they're closely monitored about these things. So we could go on. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but y'all who are not on health and community services or a waiver and that works for y'all, then you know, that's something that I really encourage y'all to get going on, because what I'm seeing more and more is great work happening to be really creative to support kids to get what they want in their lives, particularly those kids that are transitioning as young adults out of high school. So we can move on between this, because what this says here is that it ensures the individual rights of every person. It facilitates choice, and I'm not going to read everyone, but regarding the services and who provides them. Actually having a choice about where I want to live and what supports I need to get that life that I've been really wanting to get to. So person-centered supports are providing services that are really tailored and focused to the individual. Okay. Their strengths, or we're going to look at what's important to their needs, their preferences, and the plan should be the vehicle to get to these pieces in a person's life. What's important to them? What are their preferences? What is it going to take for that person to have the supports they need to get there? So we can go on. And in this slide, I'm going to show you a few slides. This is a skill that's called a one-page description. It may appear simplistic, but it is very complex in a lot of ways. I'm going to show you a couple of examples in a second, but you know, this one page, and I have seen these in people's files. I've seen them in classrooms. I've seen them in childcare. I've seen them in churches, where the idea is that we could pick up Maxwell's one-page description and learn a tremendous amount of what supports he needs, so that he's going to be successful, even though he's an infant, and particularly. Let's say a new, you know, a childcare worker, your Maxwell goes to childcare, he's going into public school. These one-pagers are just so illuminating to the people that are working with and supporting. And every year I have friends that they do this again. They'll redo it, and they'll go to their school and they'll say, now we need to build goals off of what's important to our kids. They've told us this is what it is. And we need your help to do it. And by the way, we want to share with you here what supports they do need. So, you know, you could see, again, I'm not going to read everyone. And now this is Max as a toddler, because the point here is that as kids grow, particularly little ones, or all of our kids grow, they change. And we have to keep up with that, because their supports change, what's important to them change. And the other thing that's interesting is within here, there are, you know, certainly things about disability, you know, supports that folks need. We can go on to the next one, because I think that Liam's is, you know, looks at the supports and the wonderful things about him. Oh, you know, what's really important to make him successful, even though he's like 3 years old, you know, and he's visually impaired, he's blind. And so, you know, if you're going to go take care of Liam, you need to know some stuff. You really need to know. And mom and dad can share this with that person that's coming in to support, and really walk through this is what's really going to work. There's not a, there's focus. You can see it in there. Again, I'm not going to read it, but it looks at the wonder and the amazingness of this kid, of Liam, and that what people like and admire about him, that the disability within this one pager does not define Liam. It's who he is right now, what he's doing to live his life as he would like to, even at this age. So we could go on to the next one. That'd be great.
I
So
love these so much. So
yeah.
who puts these together? Can you talk a little bit about the process of making these?
Sure, absolutely. One of the things, and I do, and there are other trainers around the state, that this is a key component of. I do a training just for parents. It's like 3 hours, and by the end of it, everyone has a one pager. I call them it for their loved one, and for them too. Because you know what happens is we get connected at the hip with our kids. We love and care so much about, but sometimes we forget about, oh, what am I doing to make sure that what's important to me is being addressed? There's not an age limit here. I mean, there are some that are, and I have about 15 of these where there are people that are in the process of passing away, of dying, but their important twos are changing all the time. So I'm happy to do it. I've left a couple, I think there's a couple of blank ones in here that folks can use. And I'm happy to talk more about it. So this is my my daughter, Elizabeth Kate. And this is, was done when she was transitioning out of high school. And since then, she's had, I don't know, because she's 35 now. I hope that's okay. I told everybody her age. But she's a one amazing person. And you can look at the things that are important to her. And she really came this up through a process of people around her listening and her talking about it. You know, so often I have run into people that are older, or not necessarily older, but I ask them things, or I want to know what supports they need, and some of them just nod their heads and smile, because so often people have come up and said, well, we'll go ahead and do this, we got to take this action, but it doesn't, it doesn't happen. And that happens over sometimes and over again. It's really it's and so folks don't always tell us, or you know, what they want out of their lives. So the part with with Elizabeth Kate was to spend that time to really discover that important two. The important four is about health and safety. Okay, that's the flip side of this. All right, important two is wonderful. It's what we want to do in our lives. It's what's what those things, our relationships, those things, the places to be, things to do, our purpose and meaning. But there has to be that other side, right? I mean, or if all of our lives important too, it's a great pardon for all of our life, because we're not looking at the balance of that health and safety. But if we only focus on health and safety, which happens, and we need to take care of that, those important twos kind of fade away. And so part of this process is how we balancing the important two and the important four, letting important two help lead the way. Because it's historically been health and safety leads the way. And then if we have some important things, we'll throw them in there. So the work is how to hear that and understand it, and then ultimately put it into that plan. Michelle, did you have a comment?
I do. I do. I have to
Okay.
know, I love the different categories and the different boxes. I have to know what a fireball is that Miss Elizabeth Kate is has to avoid a fireball.
Yeah, great question, because it's important for her, which is about her health, safety, and her emotional well-being. It used to be that she would get really angry, and that's how she would describe, because
That
it
anger,
was
that feeling.
heartbreaking sometime, because from her word, that was like this, I have this ball of fire in my heart, I can't control it, and it comes out, and it don't take it, but we discovered that she also has mental health support needs. And so her one pager, for a while, there were 11 of them, because as she was struggling with this illness, you know, her life changed a lot. And we're so grateful that she's really in an awesome place. Things have been tended to. But I know I'm going off on that, but she, just some more background on such an excellent question of what is that? And that's
Yeah,
that
well,
thing that she can't control at that time. She's doing great now.
it's great that you have, so much of a person's personality in one quick page about them. We talk a lot about developing a letter of intent, which can be quite lengthy. This is your letter of intent
Yes.
boiled down to one page, the most important things for other people to know about your loved one. It's great.
And I think the if you looked at Elizabeth Cates, there were numbers next to it, and those were the numbers that refer back to the discovery of important two. This is a one pager that just ties all the pieces together that actually is a part of a person-centered plan. Right. This is something that everybody needs to do. I'm sorry, I could go 3 hours just on this, but I don't have it. Actually, I'm doing 2 days in an hour, so bear with me.
Well, that's
And
great. We're all excited to see how to get this going.
so here you go. And again, you're the what people like and admire. The kids all have gifts. My mentor, Judith Slow, told me, who's a brilliant woman, taught at Harvard and wrote several books. She's also a woman that had her body below her neck did not work. And she said that everyone has gifts, everyone. And the fundamental gift is present. And if we're not present, the very fabric of our community is broken. And everyone, and our work is to, and our as parents and as we, if we're professionals here, how are we discovering that gift and building on that to get to that important too? So here are the different categories. You'll see, one of the things that I get a kick out of with Elizabeth Cate was that one of the things that is important for her, and you can see that there are different boxes that mean different things, and I'm not going to go into that, but the she says, don't talk loud, no bad words, right? But that doesn't preclude her from having, so he's got a kick out of that. So anyway, there's different pieces of information, how best to support. Oops, I just took my thing right out instead. Uh-oh, am I still there?
Yeah, we've got you.
Okay, I can't see the slide.
Uh-oh.
I must have done something.
Look for your Zoom window somewhere.
Getting, and I'm sorry, I'm not getting it. You go into the link, Jezebel.
I muted you and then I clicked ask to unmute so you can hopefully see where that button pops up and maybe that'll bring you back. No. Are you out there? We can't hear you now. You need to unmute. Oh, it looks like he's left and he's going to pop back in. But while he's out there, you guys can write down these different categories and think about what you would like for your one-page description to look like. I love there was one that looked like a trifold brochure with the dinosaurs on it. That was really cool. His daughters that had the pink and gray. That was beautiful. So you can think about that with your loved ones and what they would like to show about themselves and kind of advertise.
Michelle, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Jeff.
Okay,
Yes.
great. Can you let me in on the video? And then I think we're great. We just took an exciting pause.
Okay. Let
Thank
me
you so much. Yeah.
make co-host. There you go. You should be able to share your video again. I was just, talking about it's almost like a brochure or an ad for your loved one. It's really pretty cool.
All of my associates in my company, they have to have one. I have mine. I think it's in there. So again, it's not about what age. It's about discovery of what people want to do in their lives and what supports they need to get there. So we can go on to the next one. Thank you. So important two and important four and the balance between them. This is the core concept. You've heard me talking about it, is that Historically, people's lives, and they still are in Texas and in other states, are all focused on health and safety. And if you can imagine, the only thing you're thinking about is your health and safety, and you're not, there's nothing compelling you to move forward, and it's just in this place where you're only looking at health and safety, you're not being able to really pursue what your goals are and what your dreams are. So we go on. Thank you. All right, and here I wanted to just show you real quickly is more definitive information about what's important to means. What's important to a person, and it includes these things: satisfied, content, comforted, fulfilled, and happy. Are your children in here with the satisfied, content, comforted, and fulfilled? Are you? People to be with, relationships, culture, purpose and meaning. Status and control, that's not a hierarchical thing. Status means when I got on my computer today, I knew I had purpose and I knew I belonged and I knew I was supposed to be there. Things to do, rituals and routines. And when I do a lot of case reviews with people in different parts of Texas who are really struggling, who are really having a rough time, and one of the things I've discovered is that rituals and a rhythm in people's lives is so important to them. And if when those rituals are broken, they tell us often with their work, not their words, but their behavior, particularly with folks that I've seen who have autism or some other disability label that is something where they don't use words. The ritual becomes their words, and it's something that they have power over. They don't have a lot of power, but when their ritual's broken, again, they'll react. And a couple of stories on that, but I just want to just take a second and not go through a bunch, but just share with you that I know of a young man who's 14, and he is an amazing kid, and he's on the spectrum and doesn't use words. And when he would get on the bus, he was always in the same chair seat. He sat next to the same kid, and so on. And he had a substitute bus driver come in to drive the bus. And Connor he didn't know who these people were. This guy was, and he ended up in the wrong seat. He didn't get to sit next to his friend. He didn't get to have his seatbelt put on the way he wanted. And for 15 minutes getting to school, he just built up and built up. And when he got off the bus, he threw a chair. And so, no, you don't throw a chair, but people around him need to know how critical that ritual is to him and support him to do that. And I mean, that's kind of a different way of looking at how are we really listening to rituals? How are we listening differently? So if we can go to what's important. Here's a little bit more about, what is important to a person includes what people say with their words and with their behavior. And then when words and behavior are in conflict, pay attention to the behavior because the behavior is the language. Behavior are the words. And then you ask why. Why is this happening? So again, you may hear from somebody telling you something and then they completely go and do something else. That behavior of going away, that's what they're saying. They're telling you that those are the words. So, okay, we can move along here to important four. And again, I've mentioned this health and safety, and to break it down a little bit more, prevention of illness, treatment of illness, environment and the safety, free from fear, and then being believed. There's a lot of more movement in our work to look at ensuring we're listening to people, what's important to them, and being seen as a valued and committed and a contributing person to their communities. And not as this person who's very different. As we have, us on this webinar today, and who live with a lot of these issues, concerns, and wonder. And there are a lot of people that don't. So the work really needs to be looking at how are they valued? What are they a part of? And okay, and they're connected. Okay. So if again, if you only do what's important to, That's not a healthy life, or you end up in tug in, and then the other side was health and safety, and they're connected. So there's just probably two quick things I want to make a point of on this is important two and important four. They influence each other. So it's not important two versus important four, and no one does anything that's just important four willingly. Unless a piece of it is connected to important too. No
I
one.
mean, have
That's
you just
that.
described dieting in the
Yes.
clearest sense right there? I mean, this applies to everybody, and it's not just our loved ones, but even for us, it might be important to me to be able to eat chocolate every day, but it's not necessarily important for me to eat chocolate every day. And then you have to balance, the safety, the health, and I'm not going to not eat chocolate every day unless I can change my important to be healthier. If it's important to me to be healthy, then maybe I can get away from that eating chocolate every day, right?
Yeah, right. And I love what you said. You don't necessarily cut off. I don't know anybody, and I hear like who's on a 1200 calorie diet that does it all, every day like they may supposed to, but it goes back to that balance of I like chocolate, but you know what? I'm not gonna eat as much. I'm gonna cut back on this because my health is important and I enjoy this. That's the good example. Yeah. But we don't do what's important for only. And there are people still in our state in a very institutionalized settings where their whole life is about health and safety. And they don't have choice. They don't have opportunity to explore that important too. And learn more about what they want in their lives. So it's dynamic and it's constantly changing. We can go, this is a just an image of, if it's all important for. I've mentioned this and also important too. So if we went to the other slide, it should be looking at it. So again, it's looking at how do we maintain healthy and safe, not at the loss of important two, but how are we supporting important two and balancing that as that slide shows. So I think we could see what's coming up next here. Okay, so Einstein's quote here is ask yourself, what do we know before asking what do we do? What do we know about in this before what are we going to do when it comes to planning? And he said, if I had an hour to save the world, I'd spend 55 minutes defining the problem. So the 55 minutes is discovery of important too and supports and people in the person's life. And the plan is 5 minutes, right? The plan is the vehicle. It is not the thing. It is the vehicle. Okay. And he says it perfectly. Are we really looking hard at getting all the discovery we need to so that we can make the plan a living, fluid document? Okay. We can cruise right along. And if you have an eye to, where are we going with our kids? What do we envision for them? There's a story you're gonna have if you have a loved one, with a disability and they're born, there's a great story of, well, I thought I was going to London, but I ended up in Paris, and it's not an awful, it's just really different and dealing with different issues you didn't even know. You became an expert overnight. So if we look at, let's work towards the top of the mountain here, healthy and safe. Are we ensuring that what's important to in every day, people to be with things, those relationships, opportunities for to try new things, change jobs. What is the when we think of our young adult children exiting public school, do they have an eye to what they want to work towards? Do they have their goals and what's important to them to work towards that? And what supports do they need to be successful? So I mean, at the top, that's where we all want to be, right? And what are we doing now to ensure that our kids are moving up that mountain? Okay. Go on. Okay. So, important two and important four. This is a way to briefly document what we've learned. So, what's important two? And I'll show you an example in a minute. And then, what others need to know to support me to get that important two? Let me just spend a second looking into this a little closer. Let's look at the next slide and see. This is the relationship map. And if we had time, I would ask you to put your name in the middle, as Bob did. And This is the people in his life. We have family at the top, we have friends at the bottom, people who support me at work to my left, and then people whose job it is to support me. So over here, people whose job is the people that are paid to be in the person's life. Do you have people that you pay to be in your life? I suspect maybe there's folks with getting hair and nails and their favorite hobbies that they love to do.
Their
But are
favorite
they?
financial advisors.
Yes, there are. But yeah, and that, but there, those relationships are sometimes different from my best friends or my kids. So sometimes that, if we only have people that are paid to be in our life, and we don't have family, and we don't have those relationships in our lives, I just say it's really not a good quality of life. If we just look at, not if you just, this isn't a good thought, but if you thought of the family and friends and the people that you work with who say, and they're not there, and you only have folks that are paid, and I'm thinking more of like direct support folks and who are awesome people, but they end up turning over and going away. We need to look at, how do we fill up our kids' maps? What are we doing to ensure that they have opportunities to have relationships? And there's some really cool work going on in terms of supporting people to discover relationships based on what's important to them, because that's basically how we get friends, those commonality things that are important to us. And so this, like I say, this is our money. This is our gold right here, the people in our lives. So, and then how are we going to support our loved one to get more opportunities to meet people and make friends and be seen as valued? And then what supports do we need to make that happen? Okay, we can go on.
There you go.
So let's look at that's a really wonderful skill I want to share. It's called the communication chart, and it's discovering and listening. This is not a behavior program, but let's take a look at what it looks like. Here we go. So the communication chart, this is a way of discovering how we support people through their behavior. It's not a behavior program where, they have to earn this to do this. But if we looked at number one, I do this is the action, what others notice and can be seen. And then when this happens is in the environment, where it's number two, what just has gone on, it's the trigger. So we see the behavior, and then we realize this is probably the trigger. And then the third one is it usually means. So I do this behavior, this is when it happens, and it usually means this. And I want you to do this or not do this. That's the difference. That's the person-centered way of listening to that person and what they're telling us with their behavior. And this is an awesome skill for folks that don't use words. Let's say if you have a loved one that doesn't use a lot of words to communicate, this is golden, because you're looking at, I do, this is the behavior I'm doing, and this is what happened, and this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling frustrated, anxious, mad, or maybe I'm happy. And for me, when I get when I come home, I'm not in a, I'm frazzled or a little mad from something that happened at work. What I do is I scrub the kitchen counters, all of them. I'm scrubbing them all the time. And people know when they see me scrubbing and mumbling that they need to give me space. So it don't come in and social work me and say, oh, Jeff, I can see you're scrubbing the, your counters. You must be upset. No, let me finish. Let me just do this and I'll be good. Counters will be beautiful and I can go in and maybe I'll want to talk to it and maybe I won't. But sometimes with great intentions, we mess things up for people. And so listening to what it is and supporting them based on what they're telling us with their behavior. And it doesn't just mean someone that doesn't use words. In the workplace, this is a really powerful way to say, you may assume this, but it's not. This is what it is. For people that don't use words, they're the most vulnerable folks to be to have assumptions made about their behavior all the time. And so the greatest listeners, I believe, are us, the families. We know their language. We know when they're doing something, why. And it's critical that we share that. So we can go on. This is just another image, and it's an image that hopefully y'all can pick up as well. Let me know and I can get you hard copies of whatever you'll need. All right, routine. And I mentioned this earlier too. This is so powerful. I want you to just take a few seconds and think about your morning ritual from the minute you wake up to the minute you start your day. Okay. So just think about what is that you do every morning to get up, turn off your alarm. Maybe it takes you five times to turn off your alarm. And then you go on to the next, you go on to the next one, get up and get dressed and so on and so on. But is there something that you do every morning that's important to you? Do you work out? Do you have a spiritual time that you take time with? Is it time where you go for a walk with your dog? Is it time where you are, doing different exercise or yoga, all those things? You're taking care of yourself in the morning. And what if that was taken away from you without your permission? If we had time, we could talk about how that would probably mess up your day. And we often have control over our rituals. And, this is another good skill to drop in the communication chart. But when your only power is your ritual, and that's taken away without your permission, as I've mentioned, not good things happen to a lot of people. It happens to us too. So people need to know, maybe when we get into work or school, this is what happens because his ritual got broken through a chair, So this is a very powerful skill of discovery. Two, what's important, and four, and then what supports I need. All right. So this is a very simplistic way, but it's very powerful. I love this skill of coming up with action steps based on a specific issue. And I use this with, what are we going to do with our health? What have we done and what are we going to do about our health? And that would be the cue question. And then if you look at what did you try as the first one, right? And bullet point what those are. These are the things I tried around keeping healthy. And what did I learn from what I tried? And then what are we pleased about? Because there's almost always something we're pleased about and we overlook it because we're in the midst of discovering why isn't this working? And then we get to what are we concerned about? When I was a manager, I had several other managers report and on Mondays and we'd go through and a lot of time we would be, wringing our hands going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because we skipped the first three questions. We went to right, are we concerned about? All right. What are we concerned about? So we didn't do, what did we try? What did we learn? And what are we pleased about? And after you get to what you're concerned about, that's when you do action steps. So the four is the question. The one is the action. And if I ever am in a meeting again, where I sit around and hear people wring their hands and they're not looking in it. I mean, I just don't have time for that. Let's figure it out and let's get to the action that we need to take. And again, if we had time, you'd be looking at your own. What would you be doing about what was working and not working around your health and safety and getting healthier? I hope that makes some sense. It's going through pretty quickly. And here's a blank form. So what would your focus question be? What would it be with your son or your daughter who's there's an issue that continues to come up? Let's pull it back, focus on that question and go through the different ones and hopefully come up with an action plan. Let's go ahead because I've kind of wrap things up. These are things that really are about important too. So we've been through that. I want to give you all some time if you have any questions. This is I love this because it outlines the process when we begin to look at where our kids are and where they can go and what they're telling us they want to do with their words or their behavior. And so if you look at the service life, that's all about important four, health and safety. And there are people that you may know, I don't know, I know sadly a whole lot of people that are stuck in environments. It doesn't have to be institutional. It can be in a school. It can be anywhere where there's power over the person and they don't have opportunity to shift that. And then we get in the middle. It's not a bad life, but the closest people are paid to be in the person's life. They don't have really relationships outside of that. And then here in the pleasant life, well, there is two and four and it's balancing. That's great. And then we get to the meaningful life, which I think is where most of us as parents or if they're professionals on here that we That's where we are. And so what are we doing to move people down? I'm convinced that what needs to happen is we've got to spend that time supporting people to have relationships like the rest of us do and being seen as valued. That needs to be our objectives. That's what needs to appear in our plans. There, I have some resources here that are going to be available. And I think my one pager is there as well. And this is for work, most specifically for work, but I'm not going to go through it all. But I did want to save some time. I know I ripped through a lot of stuff and I had a strange moment in the middle of it with my video.
That's all right.
I appreciate your patience, everyone. So I didn't know if you had a comment or a question.
Yeah, there's a couple of comments and questions and things in the chat box. This is something I've been wanting to create with my kids and asking for their input. They're 13 and 17. I mean, this sounds like a great project for a family to do together. And even, you know, you have insights into your family members and they have insights into you. So there might be things that you know about yourself and you want to put on this page, but also they might have something to say about things you do that you want to reflect on and put on there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is used as team building in the, you know, the corporate world or the, you know, whatever work world that is, understanding what supports we each need and what's really important to us. And it really helps the work environment too. I have seen this. That's a great example of a family doing it and, you know, coming together and then making commitments around what we say we're going to do.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Now, this person says, I work in a primary care clinic for children and young adults with special needs, and I try to get parents and patients to also add things that they want the doctor and medical team to know. Jeff, would it be appropriate for people to have one that is for school, one page description that is more appropriate for school and one that you can show the doctor's office that kind of focuses on that aspect? Or would you try to fit it all on one?
No, that's a great question. And they need to be, when I go to the doctor, I'm going to show the doctor, hey, that my medication's not working because, or whatever that is in their world. And this is what's important to me when I go see my doctor. And this is what's important for me. And then did some training at University of Houston Medical School just for doctors around discovery of what's important to the person. Yes, it works in there. It works at schools. It works in the workplace. You could go into just about any place where we land or our kids land. Is it childcare at the end of the day? Is it a respite person that's coming in to help us? How are we really focusing down and drilling down in this environment? This is what I need because it's different typically. So great question.
What a great way to help your loved one prepare for walking into the doctor's office or getting that something becoming different in their life, you know, because everybody wants that routine. Something is about to change. So let's focus on what we need from that change would also, you know, help them realize, okay, this isn't a bad change. It's just a change. And this is, you know, what I expect from that. What a great, great tool.
It is. And thank you so much because you're opening up seeing young adults exiting public school, they go in with their one pager and it's a self-advocacy thing. There needs to some advocacy skills or mom or dad are supporting, but say, this is what I want. This is the job we're here to do today to help me get to my next place. And that's really, really powerful too. And, but there are so many ways to utilize that skill.
Yeah, fantastic. And these can be things that you use throughout life, not just, I mean, you don't just do it once and stick it in a drawer and forget about it. This is a very important communication tool.
We haven't talked about the plan a whole lot. And this one page description helps to inform what needs to happen in my plan. Okay. Again, the plan is not the thing, it's that vehicle. We've discovered what's important for. We've discovered all these things. They're going to help me get to my outcome, which may be I'm going to have a job working here or working there, and I want to work towards living in my own apartment, which is a scary thing, but how are you? And again, there's a multitude of ways to do it. Thank you.
Fantastic. There's just two last comments. I'm going to kind of just scooch on to my last slide because, I would rather speak with Jeff than you listen to me talk about Consolidated Planning Group. But this is how you can sign up for your free consultation with Consolidated Planning Group. Remember, we're the ones who cover the financial planning side, helping you understand your government benefits and all of that. So Jeff, there's a comment. It does require getting out of our comfort zone and talking to as many people as we can in the community. I think that is so important to, you want to build those relationships kind of even with your loved one before they need to rely on those people. You don't want you're gone one day and you have this great circle of people around you who know you very well, but you have to make sure that they know your child as well, because they're the ones that they're going to be there to support and grow with. So you've got to get out there and meet all kinds of people, right?
I think, again, it's that building those relationships and really listening to our kids and letting some of our power go and risk. That's how we all learn. We had two or three mistakes already today that I'd learned to do it that way. It's great comment.
And then the last comment that I see is, I love this as a self-advocacy tool for my kids as they are becoming more independent. And love this presentation, bringing in more framework ideas to work on, especially the chart of what's not working. So thank you for that. Now, I also want to say I'm putting my phone number in the chat box so that anyone here who is viewing today can call me and I'll schedule your free consultation if you'd like, or just answer whatever ongoing questions that you might have. Jeff, you have been fantastic. This has been such a great presentation. And we did record it. These charts they seem very simple. You could probably just write them down and build your own. But if you want to use what Jeff has put together, you're going to receive these slides later on today in your email. So you can print his templates. But this is so great. And these are just simple, easy takeaways that you can really implement starting today. This is great. Thank you.
Thank you for being on today.
Yes, I don't see any more questions or comments in the chat box. But again, I want to thank everybody for taking the time to be here with us today, especially you, Jeff, for presenting all of this great information. If you have further questions, please feel free to reach out to either Jeff or I. We are here to help you. And everybody have a great week. Bye.